from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 22nd. Hi, it's Iris. June 22nd, 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Pfizer.org, the giant viruses that orchestrate life in the polar regions. The team sampled seawater and sea ice across the Arctic and Antarctic, pairing high-throughput DNA sequencing with electron microscopy. The combined methods give a solid, observational picture of virus abundance. They found giant viruses, some with genomes larger than many bacteria, infecting key algae and other microbes, directly reshaping community structure and influencing nutrient flow. Activity spikes during spring melt, when these viruses help release carbon from surface microbes, linking them to the seasonal carbon export that feeds deeper ocean layers. Because the work spans multiple sites and seasons, it provides concrete evidence that giant viruses are integral to polar ecosystem dynamics, even if the study remains observational. Next, second from New Atlas, new class concept previews wild future for BMW sports cars. BMW's M division is already sketching a new direction for its flagship sports cars, because the upcoming zero emissions rules won't leave room for the classic gasoline powered inline six and the ultralight chassis they've built on for decades. The plan is to replace the internal combustion powertrain with an all-electric system, while trying to keep the sharp handling and driver feedback the M fans expect. The first concept models show a sleek, low-drag body that houses a dual-motor setup delivering instant torque. Engineers say the electric powertrain can push the car from 0 to 100 km/h in under 4 seconds, which is comparable to current M models, but the real focus is on maintaining the precise steering feel and balanced weight distribution that define the brand. BMW acknowledges that this shift will mean a different driving experience, no engine roar, but a quieter, more immediate acceleration. They're also experimenting with lightweight battery packs and advanced regenerative braking to keep the car's overall mass down, aiming to preserve the agility that makes M cars feel alive on the road. In short, the M line is moving toward electrification, trying to blend the heritage of performance driving with the practical need to meet future emission standards. It's a big change, but the core idea is to keep the sportiness while swapping the fuel source. Up next, third from New Atlas. Fish oil supplements reach the brain, but fail critical Alzheimer's test. People taking fish oil supplements in an effort to shield their brain from Alzheimer's disease AD might be better off investing that money in their diet, with a two-year study finding that omega-3 pills offer no protection from cognitive decline. Category: Alzheimer's and dementia, brain health, body and mind tags. University of Southern California, brain, Alzheimer's disease, cognitive functioning, dietary supplements, Omega Garden technology, fish, aging, age-related. And then, fourth from New Atlas, whether wall in space could cut solar storm destruction in half. Solar geoengineering methods are often seen as a controversial last resort that may be required in the face of an accelerating climate crisis. They are largely untested, meaning they could have drastic unforeseen consequences affecting everyone on the planet. Tags: geoengineering, sun, solar storm, magnetic field, earth. Next, fifth from New Atlas. Gallery: Australian Geographic Nature Photographer of the Year finalists. Charged with sorting through 2,129 images from more than 500 people, judges have named their shortlist of 100 pictures vying for prizes in the 2026 Australian Geographic Nature Photographer of the Year Ag Putty competition. Here are our favorites. Category: photography, consumer tech, technology. Tags: wildlife, nature, animal science, behavior, photography, competition, Australia, and danger. Up next, sixth from Inverse Science. House of the Dragon Season 3 opening credits hide spoilers in plain sight. House of the Dragon may be very different from Game of Thrones, but one thing is the same: the opening theme. Ramin Nawadi's theme full of pulsing strings is part of the show's epic image, and that's one element that hasn't changed in House of the Dragon. But in Season 2, the opening credits sequence that unfurled to that theme changed drastically. Season 1 sequence emphasized the fire and blood inspiration while still echoing the miniature depiction of Westeros in Game of Thrones, but Season 2 changed things up with a new opening inspired by the Bayeux Tapestry, the real, world massive embroidery depicting the Battle of Hastings in 1066. In Season 2, the images depicted in the opening caught us up on ancient Targaryen history, including Aegon's conquest, Houses Stark, Tully, and Arryn bending the knee, and the construction of the Red Keep. There were also events from Season 1 shown, like the tragic loss of Lucerys. Now, in Season 3, much of the same ancient history is shown, but it adds a few key moments recapping Season 2 of the series. Here's everything that was added. Warning: spoilers for House of the Dragon ahead. The first big difference addresses the two tragedies that define the beginning of the Dance of Dragons: the loss of Lucerys Targaryen at the end of Season 1, and then the reciprocation ordered by Daemon that ended in the loss of one of Aegon's children, Jaehaerys. That was supposed to even the score, but it only sparked more resentment from both sides, all building to the first real battles of the conflict. The next additional scene shows a brutal battle between two dragons, one gold and another red. This is the Battle of Rook's Rest, where Rhaenys and her dragon Meleys were defeated by Aegon and his dragon Sunfire. However, then Aemon and his dragon Hagar turned their sights against the king, and Aegon and Sunfire were both left gravely injured. This betrayal is how Aegon ended up Bedridden for the last few episodes of Season 2, leaving Aemon to rule as Prince Regent. Now Aegon and Larys are on the run, and Aemon is off to take Harrenhal, something that will bring him face to face to the only House of the Dragon character as spooky as he is, Aelys Rivers. While the Greens were dealing with and fighting, the Blacks had a unique strategy to tip the odds in their favor. They gathered anyone, even common folk, who could possibly have Targaryen lineage and allowed them to bond with dragons. These characters, known as the Dragon Seeds, may not be the brightest or the most strategically minded of their newfound family, but they provide a huge advantage over the other side. But how effective are they really? Season 3 will tell us. This is just how the opening sequence looks now. Just like in Season 2, it's likely this opening will change to add new events as we go along. You may skip this intro every time, but it secretly contains all the recap you need about Targaryen history. And then, 7th from Inverse Science, Battle of the Gullet. Who survived House of the Dragons' deadliest battle so far? All of Season 2 was building up to one thing. A massive naval battle pitting Corlys Velaryon's fleet against the Triarchy. A massive, piratic fleet led by Shiroko Lohar and Tywin Lannister, who are both on the side of the Greens. However, the entire season ended with all these characters suiting up for a massive fight, only for the credits to roll just when it was supposed to start. It's understandable to see why this battle, known as the Battle of the Gullet, is a massive undertaking that could max out the TV production. But Season 3 writes this wrong immediately, picking right up with the battle. But how does it end, and who is able to walk away? The answer will change the landscape of Westeros forever. Warning! Major spoilers for House of the Dragon Season 3 Episode 1 ahead. The battle begins with Tyle and trying to suggest to Shiroko to take the safest route, but Shiroko has her own ideas. She is going to do whatever it takes to meet Corlys face to face. She diverts some of her troops to Sackhide, Corlys's lands. This isn't a practical strategy for the battle at hand. She wants to deal Corlys a moral blow, by burning his castle and leaving him helpless to stop it. Do you think his focus will hold when he sees his treasure trove aflame? She says. Meanwhile, Rhaena Targaryen has run across Sheepstealer, a feral dragon. Just as we saw with the dragon seeds in Season 2, she bonds with the creature, but doesn't exactly tame it. Back at Dragonstone, Bella informs Jaehaerys and Rhaenyra that the fleets are clashing on the sea. Rhaenyra wants to go to battle, but Jace, concerned for her well-being, decides to stop her. He instructs Ser Lawrence to lock her in the room and sets off on his dragon Vermax. With no other choice, Bella takes her dragon Moondancer to help him. In the heat of the battle, Shiroko makes a strange order. She tells her troops to leave the melee to pursue Corlys's ship. Tyle and warns her that this is a bad idea, especially since they are on the flagship. It's only then that Shiroko reveals her true intentions. She didn't come all this way to help the cause for Aegon. She's here for one reason and one reason only, to get revenge on Corlys for some old beef. Corlys tries to lead Shiroko astray by taking her ship through a treacherous pass, which leads Shiroko to jettison all extra weight, including Tyle and himself. They get through and Sharko and Corlys' men clash in an epic battle. First, Sharko and Corlys fight until Corlys is thrown into the sea. Then Aline picks up where his father left off, and is able to defeat Shiroko, slitting her throat in the flooding hull of the ship. Meanwhile, Moondancer and Vermax are still trying to raise the remainder of the Triarchy. Rhaena flies Sheepstealer home to Dragonstone, but when she sees the battle, she decides to help out. This ends up backfiring, as Sheepstealer has no idea which ships are friendly and which are enemies, and by the same token, Bela and Jace have no idea who is riding this dragon, and are distracted by Sheepstealer's seemingly random attacks. A scorpion bolt strikes Vermax, and he and Jace are pulled into the sea. Just when Jace is able to separate himself from the saddle, he's fatally struck by three arrows. At the end of the day, here's where things stand. The battle is a decisive victory for the Blacks, but at the cost of the Crown Prince Jaehaerys and his dragon Vermax. Shiroko and Tyle and Lannister have both perished, and Corlys Velaryon, the sea snake, is lost at sea. But this is Game of Thrones, and until a body is seen, nothing is certain. We'll just have to see how each side licks its wounds next week. Next, 8th from Inverse Science. 95 weird things for anxious people that are legitimately amazing. If you're feeling overwhelmed or your thoughts are spiraling, it can be helpful to have a few good products at hand to help lessen your anxiety symptoms and put you more at ease. While it's always a good idea to talk to a doctor about how you're feeling, the following weird yet legitimately amazing products have helped plenty of shoppers gain some temporary relief. Scroll on to shop the products that anxious people swear by. Feeling anxious can often lead to carrying tension in the neck and shoulders, which is where the cervical traction block can come in useful. It has an adjustable 3-height design that contours to your neck and gently stretches out tense muscles. The block is firm yet lightweight, it comes in a one-size-fits-all, and it is recommended that you use it for 10 minutes a day for best results. One reviewer wrote, "Our chiropractor recommended this for my husband and I after we complained of tech neck and stress headaches. Just a few minutes on it, and we feel so much more relief in between adjustments. Thank you." Ski32. This deck of cards includes 75 specific exercises designed to target the vagus nerve in an attempt to help relieve symptoms related to stress. The exercises were written by Melissa Romano, a yoga therapist who uses mind body techniques to help her clients. One reviewer wrote, "Fabulous, easy to understand and absolutely helpful. Just what I was looking for regarding stress relief. Hippy pish per cuddle up in softness with this velvety microfiber weighted lap blanket. It's compact for easy travel thanks to the included roll-up carry in case. The blanket weighs 3 pounds and is filled with glass beads for even weight distribution during use. It comes in a cute leaf design in 5 colors, and there are larger sizes available as well." One reviewer wrote, "My partner hates weighted blankets, so I needed something small that I could use on just my side of the bed. I now prefer this to a full-size blanket. Portable to use in other rooms, easier to move around, nice velvet fabric, and looks cute laid on top of a made bed." Clarice Ponger, for a relaxing, hug-like effect, get this weighted cooling blanket. It features an elegant quilted design and has a breathable microfiber exterior that makes it ideal for year-round use, providing cozy warmth in the winter and creating a cooling effect in the winter. The blanket is filled with weighted beads that are evenly distributed throughout its entirety to prevent it from becoming uneven. One reviewer wrote, "I bought this for my husband who has sleep issues due to anxiety, and he is in love with it. He sleeps with it every night and sweats, but it still doesn't smell. The color is perfect for him, and it's super easy to use." Definitely get this for yourself or anyone else who has anxiety and needs a relaxing hug from a weighted blanket. Marbles, a little challenge, can certainly be healthy for the brain. This coloring book is a little different than others, blending reverse coloring, paint by numbers, and puzzle solving into one activity. It's the kind of doodling you'll easily get lost in. One reviewer wrote, "I absolutely love my new tracing book. The designs are so unique and fun. They're not just simple outlines, they actually let you get creative. What I really enjoy is that you're not limited to just tracing. you get to use your own imagination to decide how the final drawing turns out. First, this unique pillow has an ergonomic, contoured shape that can help to better align your spine for a good night's rest. It's made with supportive, dense memory foam that contours to the shape of your neck and head, and it won't lose shape or become flat over time. One reviewer wrote, "From the moment I laid my head on it, I felt an immediate sense of comfort and proper support. The ergonomic design fits perfectly to the shape of my neck and head, helping me release tension and wake up feeling refreshed and pain-free." Lily Y. Nico, this pocket-sized bear is highly squeezable. That's actually what it is designed for you to do. She has it with her in her pocket daily, and she will give it a squeeze, a hug when she's feeling anxious, and it gives her relief and makes her feel better. Brittany, this circle of control poster serves as a friendly reminder that there are simply things in your life that are outside of your control. And of course, there are things that you can control as well. Put your bear in your pocket and squeeze it whenever life gets a little stressful. It's soft, squishy, and so cute. You can choose from a range of fun colors and even some tie-dye bears. One reviewer wrote, "I bought this pocket bear for my daughter who suffers from severe anxiety at school. Hang it wherever you'd benefit most from its messaging." One reviewer wrote, "Poster offers a clean design with a message worth mulling over. The circle of control layout's a classic for a reason." Up next, ninth from Dead Hidden, "The cloud is not weather. The piece reframes clouds not as weather but as biblical thin places, thresholds where God meets people. It points to Moses entering a cloud on a mountain to speak with God, the cloud that swallowed three men, and the cloud that received Jesus as he ascended," Acts 1:9. In each case, the cloud isn't a backdrop. It's a doorway that both receives and releases. The author, Adam, leans on Matt Crane's book *The Doctrine of the Doors* to argue that scripture treats clouds as portals, not mere condensation. He suggests that when the sky darkens, the air stills, and you feel a hair-raising sensation, it's worth asking whether you're witnessing weather or a divine doorway opening. The essay ends with a call to look up, to share the idea with someone who stopped noticing, and a plug for a larger archive of hidden doctrinal material that the modern church often keeps shut. And then, 10th from the skeptical cardiologist, "Lucinda Williams and Bob Dylan at the Rady." Bob Dylan, arguably America's greatest living songwriter, is continuing his tour that never ends. He's 85 years old and will be performing tonight at the Rady, a wonderful outdoor amphitheater that sits on the waterfront of Embarcadero Marina Park South in downtown San Diego. It will be interesting to catch Dylan's croaky old voice and try to discern what songs from his immense ever he and his band of crackerjack musicians is playing. But I primarily bought tickets to this concert in order to see Lucinda Williams. I have been a fan of the now 73-year-old blues of Americana of folk singer-songwriter since I purchased a CD of her Car Wheels on a Gravel Road album in 1998, but I've never seen her live. I also want to make sure I caught the opening act of tonight's concert, the John Doe Folk Trio. Yes, this is the John Doe of the legendary L Punk Band X. He's changed his style a bit since those heady days of punk. With all these components, it was unclear to me when the performances would occur and what they would consist of. I decided to ask Claude I for some assistance, and I have to say, though, he was incredibly helpful, assuming he knew it is correct. I'm posting it below for those who might also be attending the concert at Rady or at other venues. Your ticket says 6:30 showtime, and on this tour, that 6:30 slot is the John Doe Folk Trio, the first opener, so if you want to catch both bands, 6:30 in your seat is the real target, not just before Dylan. Based on the running order at the comparable California shows this week, expect roughly 6:30 p.m. John Doe Folk Trio, 40 men, 7:20 p.m. Lucinda Williams, 50 men set, 8:30 p.m. Bob Dylan, 85-90 men, no onk or my recommendation. Get to the venue around 5:30-6:00 p.m. Here's what I found, pulled from the most recent shows on this run. The tour's billed as Dylan's Long Hot Summer Tour 26, with Lucinda Williams and the John Doe Folk Trio opening. The Rady Shell sits out on the Embarcadero, where on-site parking is limited and pricey. Security bag check takes time, and you'll want to be settled before John Doe starts at 6:30. San Diego MTS is pushing the Green Line trolley to the Convention Center Station Cross Harbor Drive, and it's a short walk to the entrance worth considering from your end of the county to skip the parking crunch. The most recent night, Berkeley, June 14, went, "This land is your land, Woody Guthrie." Intro, play from tape, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, Fruits of My Labor, Low Life, The World's Gone Wrong, You Can't Rule Me, Memphis Mini, Cover Everything But the Truth, Foolishness Rock, and In the Free World, Neil Young, Cover Closer, The Reliable Core, Every Night, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, Fruits of My Labor, Low Life, The World's Gone Wrong, title track of her new January 2026 album, You Can't Rule Me, and Foolishness. MTS 1 Practical Heads, up. Dylan's shows on this tour lock phones in yonder pouches. Entry is standing policy for years now, so plan to be phone free once you're in. Her set's been running 9 songs in about 50 minutes. The closer rotates, some nights she ends on Joy instead of the Neil Young cover, and she sometimes swaps in Hard Time Killin' Floor Blues Skip James. The Rockin' in the Free World Closer has reportedly been the showstopper when she does it. June 14 in Berkeley. "To be alone with you, man in the long black coat, all along the watchtower trying to get to heaven, false prophet. I can tell bow diddly cover, black rider share your love with me, Bobby Blue Bland cover, when I paint my masterpiece, I'll make it all up to you, Jerry Lee Lewis cough. Or crossing the Rubicon soon after midnight, under the red sky with harmonica, I've made up my mind to give myself to you, nervous breakdown, Eddie Cochran cover, every grain of sand harmonica closer, expect close to this exact sequence." Dylan's setlist on this tour has been unusually locked in night to night, 16 songs, heavy on rough and rowdy ways, plus reworked classics and a rotating handful of vintage covers. The main variable is a slot or two early in the set the prior night he opened differently and worked in I Shall Be Released. Fair warning, consistent with his reputation, he reshapes these arrangements heavily, so several will sound quite different from the recordings. No encore when every grain of sand ends, that's the night. Enjoy it, that's a strong bill. If you have any other tips or observations on this tour or others, please share below. Sonically yours, Akp. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.